and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back. Some city schoolyard. When bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. We'll be with you live for these next 2 hours, 7th of April, 2005. And I want to make an announcement. As of tomorrow evening, this broadcast will no longer be broadcast in Austin, Texas, or on any of the low-power FMs in Texas, nor will any other broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network be broadcast. There are many reasons for this. We have a group of people here in Austin that seem so hell-bent on crossing the bridge to wrap their arms around the liberal section of this state that they're losing their way. And I myself don't want to be a part of that. We know what has worked in the past. We know where we need to go. And I'm not going to sit around and watch these yahoos here in Central Texas play their little political games. They think Sully Castillo is a good guy. Jack McClam, Officer Jack McClam, which unfortunately you will not be hearing on this network either, was the one that told me that Mr. Sully Castillo was out in California commiserating with the Brown Berets. That's right, the communist-backed Brown Berets in California. If this is the brand of the new freedom that you want here in Central Texas, well, you're welcome to it. I know that Austin, Texas is a liberal town. I call it... What was that movie by Robin Williams, Moscow on the Hudson? Well, this is Austin on the Hudson, you might as well call it. At any rate, tomorrow evening, we will no longer be broadcasting RBN on the local low-power FM nets. I'm sorry for this, but it's a decision that has to be made. You can have your Jack Bloods and your Joyce Rileys and your Sully Castillos, and I hope that you're happy with them. Now we'll kick off a real show right after this.
What? doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cartavite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cartavite, that's all changed now.
I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cartavite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cartavite.
We all use Cartavite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cartavite. Cartavite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cartavite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cartavite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Go to Bites.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend pure soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great-tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Before we get into the program of the day, there's something that I wanted to read, and I have not had a chance to do this. So in studio here, we have Desi Anders and Dr. Bill Veit. I want to read this because it's important. I think this will probably, more than any other article that I've ever read, put into perspective exactly where this country is right now. And this is important. Either we have a standard and we adhere to it or try to attain it, or we just tear it all down and let's just throw the dice and let's see what comes of it. Now, Edgar J. Steele, which has, by the way, been called a racist also, an attorney, he writes, "We keep hearing our elected officials and so many media talking about heads that the U.S. Constitution is a living document which changes with the times and adapts to situations not considered by Americans' founding fathers. In particular, I understand how our innumerable statutes, legal rulings, and widespread bureaucratic fiat work together to make our Constitution a living document. Some might say to subvert it, but of course, never would I would never be one of those. Endless confusion results from a written Constitution which says one thing yet means another, as interpreted and applied today. Therefore, I consider it an imperative that we rewrite our Constitution to say exactly what it means and thereby clear up any confusion engendered today, particularly in the obviously misguided minds of the so-called patriots. I humbly offer the following rewrite of Amendments 1 through 10 to the U.S. Constitution, collectively known as the Bill of Rights, as a first step toward recasting our living Constitution in a form that all can comprehend. Starting with the Bill of Rights is a natural first step, as its adoption specifically was designed to prevent any misconstruction of the powers of government. Clarity being the objective of the Founding Fathers, it seems only natural that we start by establishing the clarity which, with regard to the very portion of the document which itself was charged with ensuring clarity about the entire U.S. Constitution. While I often jest to or exaggerate to make a point in my writings, please understand that what follows is neither. The following reflects my understanding of the current state of the Bill of Rights, both personally and based upon my training, education, and experience as a lawyer. I repeat, this is no joke. For easy reference, I include the original wording of each amendment in parentheses following each proposed new amendment. And I'm going to do this in reverse how he has it written, so you can understand. Where are we going in this country, folks? What ideals are we gravitating to? In order to get everybody into the tent and we can all kiss and make up, what are we going to be left with? Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. How about the rewrite? It's going on right now. Congress shall subjugate all forms of religious expression to the will of the state, particularly Christianity, and draw an absolute wall between personal religious beliefs and any and all public expressions thereof. All manner of speech is to be carefully monitored, filtered, and censored to ensure that nothing offensive to the ruling class is communicating to or from any individual or form of media. The people will be allowed to assemble only when and where the state directs. Government at all levels will be immune to petitions and lawsuits of any sort brought by citizens. Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Their rewrite, citizen militias are forbidden. The carrying of small arms, when permitted, will be closely regulated by the state. With licensing and registration of all firearms required, at no time shall any weapon of military significance be possessed by citizens except when citizens are pressed into service of America's standing armed forces. Amendment 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered at any house without the consent of the owner, not in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Well, by executive order, we can do this. Soldiers may be quartered in any house with any consent, with or without consent of the owner, and at any time following the declaration of martial law. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Well, here's their rewrite. Citizens may be stopped at any time and at any place and be required to produce identification and justification for their presence. Citizens and their possessions, including vehicles and houses, may be searched at any time in any manner, including secretly, with or without justification and without warrants. A right to privacy is retained exclusively to the state and its agents and in no case possessed by any private citizen. Think that's an exaggeration? You better start paying attention. The Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury, which, by the way, is not being done anymore. We have prosecutors that love to prosecute people, get their brownie badges, climb up their little corporate legal system, and voila. Well, citizens may be tried... Let me continue with the real amendment here. Except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy or life of limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without compensation. Well, here's the latter day. Citizens may be held indefinitely. Take a look at your terrorism, folks. Take a look at your, that's right, Homeland Security. Take a look at the Patriot Acts. Read them. Don't believe it? Read them. The government has granted it that power and to declare who the terrorists are in this country. That's right. That could be you or me at any time. Citizens may be held indefinitely with or without charges being made upon the direction of government officials. Citizens may be tried repeatedly for the same offense, both by differing jurisdictions and by way of differing charges, both simultaneously and at different times and places. Citizens may be required to testify against themselves, save only in specified circumstances and during actual public trials. The property of any citizen may be seized upon the direction of government officials, with no review by any tribunal, and with or without compensation. Sixth Amendment, as originally written, but that's not good enough anymore because the crooks have taken over, folks. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. This is the way they have it now. At no time shall any citizen accused of a criminal offense be entitled to a hearing or a trial, either public or private, except when government officials shall so determine. At trial, no citizen shall be entitled to a jury, except when allowed by the judge presiding. Citizens may be held indefinitely without charges and without being informed of the nature of the charge, if any, of accusations against them. Citizens shall have no right to confront witnesses against themselves or to compel the attendance of witnesses in their favor. When allowed by government officials to retain counsel, citizens may hire only certain pre-approved attorneys and, when allowed by the presiding judge, be appointed only attorneys beholden to the state. Let me make an addition to this, folks. The jury has already been rigged. You have it going on in courtrooms all across this nation every minute, every hour, every day, every month of the year. Judges are shutting down juries, folks, not allowing the defendants to put forth evidence to the jury to allow a fair decision. That's why we have a jury. That's why we have a juror system, 12 of them, of your peers. The jury has the right to not only judge the law, but also the evidence against you. And if they don't like the law, folks, guess what? You don't get a conviction. But the judge is not going to tell you that. He will run that courtroom to suit his own needs and get the convictions that he needs. In suit, the Seventh Amendment, in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. The rewrite, in no suits at common law, civil or otherwise, shall any party be entitled to a jury, except as allowed by the judge presiding. When allowed, juries may determine only those facts allowed them by the judge, who in every case shall be the sole arbiter of applicable law. All facts determined by juries may be rejected or affirmed either by the judge presiding or upon appeal. The Eighth Amendment. You know your amendments out there, folks? Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Bail of any amount may be prescribed and may be denied altogether. Fines may be imposed and punishments inflicted at the direction of government officials, legislature and judges presiding over trials. No fine or punishment so imposed shall be deemed excessive, cruel, or unusual. Certain citizens designated by government officials and legislatures may be summarily be executed without formal proceeding by way of either abortion or euthanasia. Citizens placed in prisons and jails may not be protected from other inmates. Folks, we have people sitting in jail for no reason at all. 50 years ago, they wouldn't be sitting in jail. But we'll make everybody criminals here. We'll fill up the prisons with them, folks, and then sit around and whine and cry that we don't have enough prison space and we need more of your tax money. Just a few of the original amendments to go, and then we'll get on with today's program with Desi Andrews and Dr. William Beath. We'll be right back. We must take some miracles back.
The The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional two-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed gel. You squeeze in your mouth, a great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, we're back. We covered the Eighth Amendment. Let's go into the Ninth Amendment. As originally written, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Well, the enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the government. And the Tenth Amendment, the original. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Their rewrite, the powers not delegated to the states by the Constitution nor granted to citizens are reserved to the federal government. Well, as Mr. Steele writes, racist that he is, I trust that this exercise has been instructive. We all should encourage immediate adoption of the Living Bill of Rights, as well as a completely rewritten living constitution, so that we might all well understand our limitations as they now exist in America. Or perhaps this would be a good time for you to reread that excerpt from the Declaration of Independence provided at the outset of this article. In fact, this would be a good time to reread all the Declaration, not to mention the entirety of the U.S. Constitution. New America, an idea whose time has come. And, folks, the excerpt from the Declaration of Independence of the American Colonies in 1776. Keep in mind that only one thing has changed, not the nature of man, only the technology. We are always the same. We never seem to change. That's why in this country we needed a strong government basis, not a strong government, but a strong basis in government, in law, not to be violated, not to run over its citizenry as it's doing now. And this excerpt reads, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, originally was the pursuit of property, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. We're not too safe nowadays, are we, folks? Who are we not safe from? It's not the criminal. It's not the common criminal. It's not what's being hyped on the evening news. It is actually your government that is the major threat and the real terrorist in this country right now, but only to those that hold the tenets of the Constitution and the rule of law in the highest regard. Other than that, you're just in shifting sands, folks. You'll fall for anything, and you probably will. And be careful of your mouthpieces that lead you there, because they most certainly will. And I mean all mouthpieces. Good afternoon, Desi.
Hi.
Mr. V.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
All right, thank you.
Where are we going today? Do we have Ralph Winterroad on the program?
Yep, Ralph's coming on pretty soon.
All righty. What are you guys going to cover today?
Well, I was going to say something about the program last week because I was deeply disturbed by what goes on out there. I disagree. It's not the government that's the enemy. It's us. It's all us. As long as people, I mean, I'm just have to say this. People got involved in their morals and their emotions. And then they bring up the Christianity thing, that this is a Christian nation, that this is founded on Christian principles, none of which are true. However, as long as the rumor abounds, it's wonderful. But the thing that offends me about the Christianity thing is none of these people who do that act like Christians. Christ, if he had a problem with an enemy, didn't go around and whoop him in a mud fight, didn't pull a sword on him, didn't do any of those things. And until we can act peacefully among ourselves, we can never, ever, ever have anything but what we have now, which is absolute tyranny by agencies, not by a government. We have no government. I woke up the other night in the middle of the night, and there was a woman on in the Congo, and her story was on, and she said that the rebels came in and beheaded her father, and then they beheaded her husband, and then they cut their genitals off, and then they cut their heart out, and then her son got run down, and they only cut his heart out. And the narrator said this has been going on for 10 years, and the reason it goes on is because there is no law. And that's what we're looking at in this country, because there is no law. We have agencies, rules, regulations, and enforcement, but we have no law.
Where is the enemy, then, if it's not the government? And I disagree with you on several points, Desi, and I'll tell you. You know me, I don't pull any punches with you, and you don't with me. But I disagree with you on the basis of this nation and its Christianity. I've read the writings. I've read the Anti-Federalist Papers and the Federalist Papers or the whatever. I've read those. And whether you claim that it's an illusion or not, well, that's your interpretation, but a lot of people...
I didn't say an illusion, I said a rumor.
Right. Well, whatever. I mean, that's fine. I'll tell you what I'm going to do at this point. I'm going to turn the show over to you guys. Have a good show. Start talking, it's dead air.
Well, so Ralph will be on in a little while to talk about a real common enemy, and that's the IRS. So, Ralph should be on. Is Ralph, do you have Ralph? Yeah, okay. We've got Ralph on, so he'll be up after the break.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.com.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Arc Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Arc Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Arc. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Arc Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arcinstitute.com. Do it today.
It's a National Intel Report, minus John Statmiller. I'm Desi Andrews, in studio Bill Veith. And on the line, Ralph Winterode. Ralph, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. Nice, beautiful, sunny day in Alaska, and the snow is melting.
And they had it, and they had it better.
Yes, and I ran out of diesel yesterday, so I got fuel, so the heat's back up, so I'm doing good.
All right. And the cat?
Oh, cat's doing honors as ever. Praetorian's out there doing his thing.
And you got her, and you got him food.
Absolutely. And I got him food, and he's out there protecting the property now.
I called yesterday, and Ralph was in the middle of a mystery novel, and the cat had no food, and the cat was pitching a fit. Ralph had
to give
up on the book and go to town. Ralph, you've been doing some research into the IRS junk, and I know that you have your one-liner that you're going to put out pretty soon, but I wanted you to talk about there is no government. There are only agencies. And you've told us this before, but the one-liner is really, I mean, I'm really impressed with it. I think it kind of puts a focus on it. And can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Well, what we're really zeroing down in here is to, and there's no way to politely put it, these are acts of treason that are being committed by people in government positions because they have intent. There's more than two of them in on it. There's assemblies of men, and when we give them the law, they just run over it. and to use force. And that is the definition of, by the Supreme Court, of waging war against the United States. And that's called treason. And what is so amazing is they usurped the government after the Civil War, the Tenure of Office Act, and the courts. Right after the Civil War, they passed the Tenure of Office Act, and because they were taking the South, they were making the South come in under the war powers under provisional military governments. And President Johnson wasn't having any of it, and because he put out in his proclamation that we cannot have a union of two types of states. All of the states are supposed to come in on an equal footing with the original states. And they were bringing all of the South back, giving them all, mandating all new constitutions. And the one in Virginia is absolutely astounding, where they said the laws of Congress, not the laws of the United States, are the supreme law of the land, and everybody owes allegiance to Congress. And that's where we sit today. And President Johnson fought this. The Tenure of Office Act, they passed an act that said not only can you not hire anybody with the advice and consent of Congress, you can't even fire anybody.
And that went to the cabinet, that went to any position, didn't it?
Any position at all, because Congress was going to make all of his people do what they wanted them to do. So he fired the Secretary of War. And, of course, 4 days later, they tried to impeach him, and they only missed by a single vote. In the Tenure of Office Act, the very next act, they told the courts, you cannot look at anything the president or we've been doing since the Civil War started. They told the courts, take a hike.
So the Congress dictated to the courts. So that was the end of the judiciary.
Well, it was, let's put it that way, the courts fought back, and they've been fighting back, actually. They really did fight back after the Civil War, and they put a kibosh on a lot of things, because they actually, Congress tried to restart all the law and abandon all the prior law. The Supreme Court said, you guys are crazy. And so they had to back off on that 1878 revised statutes. And instead of making legal evidence, all they did was make it prima facie evidence of law. So this continued on, obviously, with Congress in charge. They repealed the Tenure of Office Act in the 1880s, I think 85 or somewhere along in there. And then in 1920, Myers versus United States came along, and they still had parts of the Tenure of Office Act. And this was happened to be in the Postal Service. And the Supreme Court did an extremely lengthy really in-depth analysis of this whole situation, and they come out and repealed the Tenure of Office Act. They said it was a usurpation of Congress. But unfortunately, nobody has ever challenged the court systems, and that's even printed by the in the United States of Constitution of the United States on the internet, printed by Congress, that nobody's ever challenged the constitutionality of them taking away the court system, and that's why we really don't have any true. Article 3 courts, what it really gets down to is the word that they've used and the real simple explanation, and I'll get into the agency. They have set up a government outside the Constitution, and they use the word executive branch, just like in Alaska. Alaska actually has it up here. When I first read it in Alaska, I like to fell off the chair, because they set up an executive branch not under the executive power of the governor. And that's what Congress has done. They've set up this thing called an executive branch, and it's composed all of agencies.
And so by act of Congress, they did executive departments, and then it was changed to executive agencies. And because they use the word executive, people think that that's an executive under the president, correct?
Well, yes. They actually have all of the executive departments are listed in Title V and Section 101. And then in Section 105, they say all executive departments are executive agencies. Now, anytime you use the word agency, it mandates, and you can go look this up in any law dictionary, it mandates a two-party relationship. It's a master-servant, employer-employee. There's some type of relationship, so somebody is subservient to somebody else.
And that's how they took over.
And that's how they usurped the executive, and they've usurped the judiciary, because the judiciary, and that's in Title 5, I think it's 2104 or 2105, it states right in there that the judges work under the supervision of the Judicial Conference of the United States, which is composed of other judges, and I don't know who else in there. But they actually put it out there, and it's also in the code in another place, that all the judges work under the supervision of the Judicial Conference of the United States. Now, there sounds like an independent judiciary, right?
It sounds really independent to me. So they have absolutely done away with the three branches of government. There are no checks and balances. We have no Republican form of government. Therefore, we really have no representation. Correct?
Well, yes, we have sort of a Republican form of government because the people get to vote on it. But what they don't understand is that Congress is sitting above everything at the moment. And what they've done then, instead of they changed the civil commissions of the federal judges back in the 1880s, they now are signed by the Department of Justice, which has no authority because it's an agency. So they've disarmed the federal judges. And, of course, all of the federal judges have this Form 61, just like all of the heads of the agencies and all the people in the agencies, like the IRS agents, which says they're all employees. They're not officers of the United States. And that gets to another really interesting thing, which I'm going to be putting out here soon, is the fact that just like the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, he has no office. And that's an important issue on any agency if you're doing any research. They have no office.
And so the office is the only thing that can impose a duty or obligation on someone against their will. And
well, what it is the Congress or the legislature, the office has to be created either by the Constitution or by the legislature. Or if it can be delegated to a municipal corporation like a city. And in that, the office has to state what the duties and powers are of that office. And then the person that enters that office then has an oath of office as a public officer, and at this federal level, it's an officer of the United States. And this is an absolute killer situation because you go look at Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, and it defines out the different officers that are to be, the president appoints, but it also puts in there that the Congress must create the offices of all of the inferior offices. They created the offices. It was like the Secretary of the Treasury. They created the Department of Treasury, and then they created the Secretary of Treasury and the other offices underneath. You can go back and look at the original act back in 1879 or 1789.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on the voting thing because I don't believe people do have the right to vote anymore. They certainly don't have the right to elect. And since everybody that registers has to register as a United States citizen, there are no state elections. So we're missing the Republican form of government in our states.
But it looks like. It just looks, it gives the appearance. It is not truly Republican because to be truly Republican in our country, we have to be the sovereign and have a limited delegation of powers.
Right. So we have.
And they changed that after the Civil War and they made everybody be registered voters.
Right.
And
right.
So that's when the people stepped away from the constitutions. The North was still left, but all they did was just gradually work them out of the situation. They were already working on that. And then, of course, in 1913, they took away the states' rights by getting around and making them, instead of having them by the state legislatures, they got around and had the people are voting on senators today, too, so that they totally gutted the Constitution of the United States because there are no parties. Nobody's left.
No. Well, it always amazes me that people don't question the fact that they go down and vote in their precinct, in their county, in their state, and yet they can vote for federal officials. I mean, people should scratch their heads and wonder about that just on that premise alone. What are they doing voting in a national election at the local level?
That's true. And it's so insidious what these guys have done and in what they have replaced is an agency is basically kind of like a, they used to have sort of an agency type situation, but what they've done is they figured out a way to create the agencies. Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a great yahoo that he was, he got this thing started, and then people become to accept agencies as government. And agencies are not government. They are not government. They cannot operate by statute.
So we have.
They have to have a subsidy regulation that is authorized by a statute.
And we have no government in this country. Is that. I mean, that's a correct statement, is it not?
We do not have a lawful government under the Constitution of the United States or under the Constitution of any of the original states, and we have none of the original. There are no several states in today. They're all there. Everything is there, just waiting for the people to take it back. But the people just haven't figured it out. I was just dialing in here and reading on the Federal Register because that's one of the least understood things of what the Code of Federal Regulations are, which is if, which it is true, we take everything that Congress says, the unambiguous language of Congress as being true, And when you sit down and put a little logic to it, they box themselves into a corner that in reality they can't get out of. Because if we have no departments that are not agencies, agencies by their own definition in 552 must operate by a subsidy rule authorized by Congress. That puts Congress in charge of every aspect. So everything is sitting under Congress. So what that gets back to is the IRS cannot, which is unbelievable, they've gotten away with it all these years, they cannot send you a letter on any right or any obligation without the subsidy regulation attached.
So on a letter that the IRS sends, you have to look for two things. You have to look for the code under which they come and the regulation that enforces the code. And it has to be a substantive regulation for the IRS to send anything to you as a man or woman, right?
Right. And what the real game is here, and I was just looking at the, this is on the Federal Register's homepage. You can go on the Internet and see it. Our mission, I'm reading, this is a quote right off of the Office of the Federal Register. It says, the Office of the Federal Register informs citizens of their rights and obligations by providing ready access to the official text of federal laws, presidential documents, administrative regulations, and notices and descriptions of federal organizations, programs, and activities. Now, our rights and our obligations are supposed to be in only in the Federal Register. Because everything's an agency.
Our rights and obligations are supposed to be only in the Federal Register.
That's it. They have to be because everything goes there. All of the original acts of Congress go through there, and then there's slip laws published, and then they publish the statute at large. Everything goes to the Secretary or to the Office of the Federal Register today.
Right, and it used to go to the Secretary of State.
Yes, under the if we had laws of the United States, it would go to the Secretary of State. It actually did that, and in the 1840s, they were setting up to overthrow the government, and they stopped that in the 1840s. In the 1870s, they put it back. I haven't researched when they stopped it again, but I presume probably when the Federal Register Act came along, but I've not researched that out.
Ralph, the question that begs right now is that you and Desi and maybe a handful of people know this. The system, the bureaucrats are set up to protect the system. Most of the people... 99.99% of the people have no idea about this. What do we do?
Well, that's what I am doing right now is not only is I'm putting it together, trying to get, we're working on a one line to put this out in a one line with all of the different regulations that it says. I've got just like just a brief summary here, okay?
Just a second, Ralph. Let me explain for you that a one line to Ralph means he puts it on a page with boxes and then he moves the arrows. That's what his one lines mean. He wants you to be able to follow from one box to the other with arrows, so that's his explanation. That's what a one line is. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, it's like a flow chart. What I'm looking to do is establish a flow chart that can be used in any civil or any criminal issue. And the issues that we have to establish, now this is right out of the Federal Register. Here I am, and this is basically just some of the high points of this. They say this is their CFR. One CFR 2.1 is to inform the nature and the uses of the Federal Register publications. That's what this administrative committee is. Okay, so the next thing is they're supposed to, every agency that's in there must identify themselves. That's in 1.22.1. Now, the IRS is an agency. It says so. It actually identifies itself, and that's in, I mean, I won't give all of these code sections because there's a lot of them here, but they actually say that they are an agency, and they also state the IRS must use regulations relating to taxes contained in Title 26 of the CFRs, and that happens to be in 601.101. That is really an important CFR.
Okay, so 26, so it says.
Yes, yeah, Title 26, CFR. And it's section 601.101, and that is in A and B. A is where the agency and what it does, and B is it talks about that it's only going to do regulations in Title 26.
Okay, so one more time. The IRS is in Title 26. For those that don't know what a title is, there are 50 titles in the U.S. Code, and it's just simply a book of code. It is not the law. It's the code, and it's supposed to be prima facie evidence that there is a law. And so Title 26 deals with the Internal Revenue Service, and the CFR, the Codes of Federal Regulations, which are the enabling acts for the codes, And what Ralph just said is that it says in 26601, is that right?
Yeah, 601.101, it actually identifies, it has to state that the Internal Revenue Service is an agency. It's the agency that it's actually a bureau, but it says in there it's an agency. Then it specifically states it's going to use regulations relating to taxes contained in Title 26. Doesn't say Title 27.
Okay, and Title 27 is ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
That's correct.
And so when they come at us with anything, always the regulation is in Title 27. Is that not true?
No, there's a lot of them in Title 26, but they have to do with non-resident aliens, foreign persons, foreign corporations.
That's what I said when they come at us.
citizens living in possessions. That
territories,
sort of thing.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Right, but it has nothing to do with any of the taxes within any of the people of the several states, unless you're a non-resident alien or you're tied into some foreign business or something along those lines.
Okay, the music's coming up, Ralph. We'll come out back after the break. And for you that want to call in shortly, we'll be taking calls. The number, I think, is 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
We're back. This is Desi Anders. We're back with the National Intel Report. For those of you who want to call in, the number is 800-313-3443. 9443. Ooh, thank you, Paul. We have Ralph Winterode on the phone. And the reason that it's so important for Ralph to go over and over and over this is because it's a difficult proposition. It's a cognitive dissonance. It's a tough thing for us to learn. And we have to learn it if we're ever going to have a country that's free. Go ahead, Ralph.
Well, one of the most important things that I'm going to get to now is, first of all, because there are no executive departments to enforce the laws of the United States, everything must be done through an agency because they're all agencies. Congress says so. So we're not going to call them liars. We're going to say you printed it. It's unambiguous. Now stop and think what that means. That means that the people should not be going to the statute to see where the laws are, because those are not the laws of the United States, because there is no one to enforce the laws of the United States, even if they existed.
So all these people that go into court and talk about, well, we need the common law, we need the Constitution, we need all that stuff, they're just blowing in the wind, right?
Well, yes. I mean, there are ways to use that and how to, I've come up with some ways to do that, but the real issue is that the statutes by themselves are not to be used because there's nobody to enforce the laws, because Congress can't enforce them. They have usurped the executive, and they've created a scheme of agencies, and what they've done is created the Federal Register, and actually the CFRs is where we have to go look. Now, here's where the interesting part comes along. In the Code of Federal Regulations, there are three types of regulations. There are the substantive regulations, there are interpretive type, they also call them procedural, and then there are administrative regulations. There are three types in the Code of Federal Regulations. Those things are all mixed up. And the only way that you can discern them, what people should be spending more time on, and they don't understand what they're looking at, first of all, you have to have access to a database to really get to the bottom of this, but it's called the Parallel Table of Authorities.
Yeah,
what is that table?
I was pretty surprised the other day when you told me that those are the substantive regulations.
That is the list of all code sections on the left-hand side and the list of all of the substantive regulations on the right-hand side. That's the purpose of the Parallel Table of Authorities. The problem that thing has is that it gets around and it'll say like Title 20 or CFR 27, Part 70. It does not list out all of the specific regulations. So there are several means that you can identify them, but it takes a lot of work and you really have to have access to a database you can search. But all substantive regulations, all of them must have an authority of a code section.
Okay, so then.
And they are put at the bottom in parentheses. That's one way. Another way is they will create a table at the head, maybe several hundred pages away, and they will list them all out there. That's another way they do it. Or they will list a regulation and use that regulation as a definition inside of a substantive regulation.
Okay, we'll have you explain that more in depth. So let's take a call from Stuart in Texas. Hurry, Stuart.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess my question, well, first is, well, what a deceptive web they weave. They just, seems like they just try to make it as ridiculous as possible, first thing. The second thing is, now, if a person wants to... you own a truck, you own a car, you own a house. What recommendations for how to set that up where you're pretty much invisible, LLC or trust, or to try and be as out of the system as possible?
Can you hide from them, Ralph, or should you just confront them with the regulations?
I am going to stick with regulations. I'm not going to any of that trust, any of that stuff. There's no reason for me to go there, and all that does is complicate the situation.
Okay, we'll be right back. If you want to hang on, Stuart, go ahead.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making using bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.